We commence today's show talking politics with the host of the podcast, hashtag Woke AF Daily, Danielle Moody. Danielle, good to have you back on this program. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you as always. Let me just jump right in. There is obviously always news, always Trump news. So we were told a week or so ago that Donald Trump was given 10 days by this federal court to come up with $175 million for that bond. The bond originally was $454 million. And as I've said more than once on this program, and I'll say again, only Donald Trump could get a 68% reduction in his bond. The day that story broke, Ben Crump, Danielle, happened to be a guest on this program at that very moment. And I asked Ben, have you ever had a black client, that got a 68% reduction in his or her bond? And Ben said to me, Tabis, I have trouble getting bond hearings for my black clients, let alone reductions in bonds. He got a 68% reduction in the bond from 454 down to 175. He was given 10 days to post that. That 10 days would have been this Thursday and yesterday. Donald Trump posted a $175 million bond. So his financial collapse at the moment has been stayed. Your thoughts, Danielle Moody?
You know, Tavis, I will start out by saying I just continue to be mesmerized and disgusted by our justice system. Mm. And the reason why I am mesmerized by it is because of the illusion that we have all been under that no one is above the law. It is a bumper sticker. It is a slogan. But what we continue to see with Donald Trump over the last several years, and by several years, I mean since he was in the White House, but if you look at Donald Trump's, you know, pedigree over the last 50 years of real estate dealings and shiftlessness in New York City, Donald Trump is the exact person that the justice system was built for. It was built for wealthy, rich, white men in order to continue to hold on to their power and their prestige. There are loopholes the size of Donald Trump's body that you and I would never, ever be able to see because we don't have the bench of attorneys that we can have on retainer that are looking to see to find opportunities for us to evade the law. Right? Like, that's how this is set up. It's the same way with Donald Trump's taxes. Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes because he says he's too smart to do that. So that must make the rest of us idiots, right? Because we don't have the millions of dollars to have people on retainer to get us out of what is a duty as a part of being a citizen. And so our Justice Department continues to work exactly the way it was built to work, which is to protect rich white men and be damned everyone else.
Mic drop. Just getting started with Danielle Moody, the host of the podcast, very popular podcast, hashtag Woke AF Daily. There's your news on Donald Trump, but there's other stuff to talk about. RFK Jr., independent candidate for president. We had a spirited conversation on this program yesterday about independent candidates, and now comes news that he has qualified for the ballot in a swing state. Make that North Carolina. This is going to be funky this year. These independent candidates are starting to qualify for ballots in major states. We'll talk about RFK qualifying, we are told, from his campaign for the ballot in North Carolina. Bibi Netanyahu has just announced he is shutting down Al Jazeera in Israel. Shutting down a news organization in Israel, effective as immediately as they can make that happen. And last night, Hillary Rodham Clinton appeared on The Tonight Show with thoughts about both Biden and Donald Trump, that and more with Danielle Moody when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
This is getting good.
Yeah, man.
Tavis Smiley, continues when we come forward. He's rooting for everybody black. More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now.
More of Danielle Moody coming your way right now. She is the host of the very popular podcast, hashtag Woke AF Daily. She's also co-host of the hashtag The New Abnormal and co-host of hashtag Democracy-ish podcast. Danielle, when do you find time to do not one, not two, but three different podcasts? Good Lord.
I mean, The world keeps me busy, Tavis.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you. Ain't no grass growing under your feet. I love you. I love the fact that you are finding all these platforms to express your point of view, and we need to hear it, particularly in a moment like these. I love the opinions expressed by black women who are expressing themselves in a variety of ways, and that's a beautiful thing. Speaking of expressing yourself, I mentioned a moment ago that RFK Jr. has qualified, we were told this morning from his campaign, for the ballot in a swing state like North Carolina. There are a number of these swing states, you know as well as I do, that are going to be key in this election. We had, as I said, a spirited conversation yesterday on this program about third-party candidates. So broadly speaking, what is your view, what's your thought about third-party candidates, and particularly and especially in this election, and then we'll jump from there to RFK, Cornel West, and others?
You know, what I want people to understand about their desire to have a protest vote in this election is that we don't have time for it. This election is not between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It is between democracy and authoritarianism. It's between freedom and fascism. And so if you want to waste your vote, understand this will be the last election that you get to do so in. I am all for people that want to protest, that want to march, that want to boycott, that want to use the phone banks and all of those things. And you can do that in December. We can do that so long as we have democracy. And for those people in particular that are saying that they cannot support this administration because of what has been happening in Gaza and in Israel, understand also that you cannot fight for democracy elsewhere if you lose it where you are. That is just fact. That is how things work. And so for folks that have a lot of energy and anger about what is happening in this country, and they may have issues with Biden's age, understand that under fascism, what you think and what you want does not matter and never will again. So we do not have time for you to inflict generational trauma on this country because you are having a temper tantrum at this particular moment. Hold it and do it in December.
So my voting, I'm just making up, making a point here. I want to get your take. So my voting, for example, for Cornel West, to your mind, would be engaging in generational trauma and Tabby's having a temper tantrum?
Yes, because here's the thing that I want people to understand, that we do not have another bite at this apple. Donald Trump becomes president again. He is not leaving the White House. He did not want to leave in 2020. And for by grace of God, and for the five or six people that were inside of that administration that held our democracy together, when he told a mob to go and take their country back, he has billionaires that have backed the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. He has 20,000 people rearing and ready to go to take down our institutions and agencies from the inside out. So we do not have time for people to say that they are going to have a protest vote, because if you think, for instance, that Donald Trump is going to be better for the Palestinian people than Joe Biden is right now, you are kidding yourself, and you are sending them to a hopeless of hopeless places. You have an opportunity inside of a democracy to push, to fight, to march, and to push your representatives to be better. People inside of dictatorships and authoritarian regimes do not. They lose their lives. They disappear. Those are the options that people are given inside of those systems.
Let me press you on two things. Just playing devil's advocate here. Pressing you on two different things, though. Number one, the narrative that you're laying out now is not a narrative that I would push back on necessarily, except that we've heard this before, Danielle. You do realize that every election in my lifetime, every single presidential race in my lifetime, I've heard the same thing, that this is the most important election in your lifetime. You further realize that every time people hear you and others say that, they push back like, here we go again. You guys are always telling us every 4 years, this is the worst election, the most important election of my lifetime, and the consequences are so dire that you cannot sit this out. You realize that we heard that during the Ronald Reagan era, that Ronald Reagan was the devil. He was the boogeyman, that America was going to hell in a handbasket if Ronald Reagan got elected or reelected. So to those who say, Danielle, we've heard it all before, save it, you say what?
Okay, so let me talk to 50% of the population that has a uterus, right? So we told you that the 2016 election, right, mm-hmm. was the most important election, that the Supreme Court was going to be dependent, right, on the 2016 election. Well, right now, what have we lost, Tavis? We have lost the right to bodily autonomy for women in this country. You have a patchwork of protections as it pertains to abortion. If Donald Trump becomes president again and Republicans are allowed inside that White House, right, the test cases that they have right now going on in Alabama and Florida and Texas, where women are dying in parking lots or having to be close to death in order to receive the procedure that they need, recognize that that will be nationalized, okay? We have lost affirmative action in this country. So after 50 years of black and brown people being able, right, to be seen beyond the color of their skin and be able to push for jobs and positions in colleges and universities, that is all done. And now they're going after DE&I. I want folks to understand that if not, right, for Donald Trump becoming president in 2016, do you know how many Supreme, what 6-3 court would look like right now? It would have been a 6-3 court in our favor, in Democrats' favor. So we wouldn't have been talking about holding on to rights. We would have been talking about the expansion of rights. So folks want to play around and say that, oh, I'm told every election is the most important election. Yes, it is. And not just the presidential, all of the elections that happen in between. It is a layered cake that leads us to this place.
The other thing I want to push back on, again, playing devil's advocate here, is this. If everything that you're saying is correct, and it may very well be, if everything you're saying is correct about what would happen if, in fact, Donald Trump defeats Joe Biden, and there's evidence that suggests that may happen. The polls, surveys, and studies have been showing us a pattern that whatever you think of him, Joe Biden is in some trouble. And again, polls are snapshots in time. I get that. But every poll, every survey, every study is showing a pattern. You can ignore that, or you can deal with it, but it's showing a pattern. There are people who are on the Democratic side who like Joe Biden otherwise, who are concerned about this pattern. I'm talking about David Axelrod. I'm talking about James Carville. And these guys know something about electing Democratic presidents. I digress on that for the moment. Here's my pushback. If one man elected in this country can do all that you've just laid out, what does it say about our democracy? What does it say about the strength of our institutions? Do you believe that our democracy is so fragile, that our institutions are so weak, that the election of one single guy could allow all of that to happen?
Well, what I want people to understand, too, is that this is not just about the election of one single guy. It wasn't just Hitler in Germany in the 1930s, right? It was every single one of his enablers around him. People who wanted to believe, because of their ego, that somehow institutions would just hold and that you can hold back the monster that you created. That is not the case, right? And it is not just one man. It is all of the people that have gone along with Donald Trump. It is the Supreme Court. It is the federal court. It is that he stacked with the help of Mitch McConnell, right? This is not just about Donald Trump. This is about Trumpism, the cancer that is on our country. And if people want, right, if they want to see a decrease in the amount of rights and in the amount of freedoms just in the last 3 years because of the Supreme Court, we have lost 50 years of advancement and progress in this country, and they are not done. So I'm confused when people think that they're going to get multiple chances and multiple opportunities. Donald Trump and his Trump regime have already tested the fences. They know where the weak spots are. There is only so long that things can hold. And if we think that the courts are going to save us, those very courts that he staffed with right-wing judges that are in his pocket, right? Clarence Thomas sitting with a sugar daddy on the Supreme Court, right? Just for life. Like, folks have to understand, yes, all of these things build up, but this is not just about one man. This is about the system of white supremacy that they are working overtime to uphold and put everybody who has received advancements, fought for advancements, died for advancements over the last 50 years back in their place so that white men can rule uncontested. That's what they want. And folks need to be very, very clear and aware of that.
So given her answers to the questions I've just posed for the last few minutes, I don't need to ask what she thinks then about RFK being on the ballot in North Carolina, a swing state, or Cornel West qualifying for the ballot as an independent candidate in other states. But here is my question. If your point of view is, as you have just expressed it to be, when, where, and how do progressives ever get a chance to hold the Democratic Party accountable if in every election people like you say now is not the time?
I have to tell you this, Tavis, that there has never been a time in my career in politics. I have worked on the Hill. I have been a lobbyist for nonprofit organizations that have been trying to do their best work over the last two decades. There has never been a time when I have felt that America couldn't be better or that it wasn't on its path to perfecting this very union until now. And I say that there are some elections that are about holding on, and there are some elections that are about pushing forward. And this is an election that is about holding on by with everything that we have. So when do progressives get to push forward? When democracy is not at stake. And right now, the only thing that is standing between us, right, and the world losing America as a not only a beacon of hope, but like a beacon of democracy, and what the ripple effects will be globally, are the American people. And that's what folks have to understand. Every election, you know, isn't about hope and joy and all of those things. Some elections are just about holding on. We can have a conversation about where we go next and how we strengthen our systems that we assumed were always going to hold, because we assumed that the people that we were electing cared about the rule of law. We assumed that we were all operating off of the same values and moral code. Donald Trump did away with all of that. So we have a lot of repair to do, but we can only repair after we have held on.
Danielle Moody and I agree on this. We do agree that this election is definitely about freedom versus fascism. It is definitely about democracy versus authoritarianism. On that, we do indeed agree. I'm watching my time here. I got 3 or 4 minutes left. Let me push forward. Number one, I mentioned a moment ago that Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, has announced that he will move swiftly to shut down Al Jazeera from reporting from Israel. What he's arguing, and they passed a new law in Israel that allows him, lawmakers have emboldened him and allowed him to shut down any outfit that they deem a threat to national security. So what you have here is a nation state telling the world that this particular news agency is the mouth of Hamas. This news agency is now a threat to their national security, and they're shutting down Al Jazeera. Your thoughts?
There are clear signs when democracy is no longer important. Freedom of the press is one of those things. When you lose freedom of the press and everything that Israel has done over the course of the last few months is claimed that everyone and everything now, including Jose Andreas's World Central Kitchen, are terrorists that deserve to be shut down and wiped out, that are just providing food and Al Jazeera is just providing information, you have to start asking yourself some really important questions about what Israel is trying to do and what it is that they are trying to hide. And I don't think that we can turn away anymore and provide the benefit of the doubt where the benefit of the doubt is no longer due.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton last night appeared on The Tonight Show and had this to say about both Biden and Trump. And I quote, when asked about the candidate, she said the following: one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies. But she acknowledges that both are old. She just sees them through two different prisms. Those are Hillary Clinton's comments last night on The Tonight Show, Danielle Moody.
You know, here's the thing. Like, we're not going to escape the fact that Biden is old, right? But, you know, to that point, yes, one is old and competent and the other one is old and maniacal. Which one do you want? Those are the choices. Sometimes the choices are not what it is that you want, but the choice is clear.
Yeah.
You have one man that is fighting for your rights, your freedom, that is lowering drug costs, that is wiping out student loan debt, that is, you know, building infrastructure when we are seeing bridges collapse, that is fighting for women's bodily autonomy, right? That is recognizing that LGBTQ people are people, right? And uplifting those folks, that has the most diverse cabinet that we have ever seen. And then you have somebody that has been indicted 4 times with 91 charges and is hawking Bibles to pay his legal fees. What are we talking about here? In terms of comparison, like, what are we talking about?
Danielle Moody, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for your time. We'll do it again soon. All the best to you. Thanks again, Danielle.
Thank you.
Bunches of comments. Yeah, that's a word. Bunches of comments from people listening right now. Here's one I'll share with you before we move forward. And it's a sobering thought. Pollsters estimate this election will be decided by about 3 million people in 6 swing states. And all other votes for Biden and Trump then, essentially, Tavis, are wasted. Think about that. Danielle's talking about wasting your vote voting for a third-party candidate. Consider that. Pollsters estimate this election will be decided by about 3 million people. Of all the folk in this country, about 3 million people in six swing states will really decide this election. So maybe then all of our votes are wasted for Trump and Biden. Sobering thought. I digress. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.